The controversy at Fashion Week was whether John Galliano, who's made anti-Semitic remarks, mocked Jews with an outfit he wore. But fashion's real race issue isn't with controversial designers. As part of his Micropolis series, WNYC's Arun Venkatpal asks why the runways have so few models of color.
There's a funny thing about New York Fashion Week. You'll see black celebrities like Neo sitting in the front rows, celebrated Asian designers like Jason Wu, people of pretty much every race mingling in the lobby at Lincoln Center. But oddly, the runways are still overwhelmingly white. A couple days ago, Sean Grain Carter decided to make a point of this to a class she was teaching.
The first thing I said was, take a look at the picture and tell me what you see and tell me what you don't see.
Carter teaches at the Fashion Institute of Technology and says she showed her students a page from the New York Times, a Fashion Week review with a bunch of runway shots.
Beautiful looking models, but they're all Caucasian. You don't see an Asian model, you don't see a Latina, you don't see a black model.
So, how is it possible that in a city as diverse as this, in an industry as cosmopolitan as this, black and Hispanic models and frankly, models from all over the planet, why are they so marginalized? Fashion writer Jenna Sowers, whom I met in Chelsea Market right after the Perry Ellis show, says it's wherever you encounter images of luxury or the so-called beautiful people.
On the runway, you have mostly white faces. The flow-on effect of that is that you have mostly white magazines and mostly white advertising.
For the last few years, Sowers has been doing a racial breakdown of models at Fashion Week for the website Jezebel. Around 4 out of 5 models on the runway are white, she says. That's actually a slight improvement from previous years. But let's be clear, that's the world of editorial fashion. Commercial fashion, I've now learned, is entirely different. If you flip through, say, a Macy's catalog, you'll notice that the models are conventionally attractive and pretty diverse. They're black, white, Asian, younger, older. It's pragmatic. The company wants to reach consumers. Editorial fashion, says Ashley Mears, is more rarefied.
The look that they're looking for is something that is distinctive, that will not make sense to the everyday consumer.
Mears is a sociologist and former model who wrote Pricing Beauty, The Making of a Fashion Model. She says editorial fashion is looking for something edgy.
Edgy meaning something off, something distinctive, something different, and it's always meant to be distinctive in just the right way so that it's read as higher class.
And if you think about it, higher class often equates to lighter skin, not just in the West, but in many societies around the world. But it's not just light skin tone. Editorial fashion also idealizes youthfulness, unattainability, and, Mears says, a sort of sexual purity.
Throughout colonial history, non-white women have often been marked as sexually deviant, hypersexual, sexually available. Not just women, but also men.
In other words, white girls in industry code are neutral. They're coat hangers. But non-white models are burdened with all these layers of meaning that, for some people in fashion, distract from the product. To get work, models of color have to conform as much as possible. Marsha Mitchell is black and has been repeatedly told she should get a nose job to have a more aquiline appearance. And then there's her hair. She says stylists can't deal with it because it's not straight white girl hair. She was even let go from an agency because of her race.
They just sort of said, you know, we're not doing black girls this season. I'm sorry.
For people in the industry, this isn't an easy issue. No one wants to deny deserving models a chance, but they also see this as an art form and don't think it should be subject to some sort of quota system. Preston Chunsomlet is a model casting director, and he's Asian.
Well, for me personally, it's beyond my control. I'm not the client. I just facilitate. And is it the client's responsibility or the magazine's? You know, it's just, I think that it lays in consumers.
There are some designers like Diane von Furstenberg who take the issue of diversity pretty seriously. And the rise of China is having its own effect, resulting in more Asian models being cast on runways. But not everyone sees diversity in the same way. For designer Nicole Miller, whom I met backstage after her show, race and hair color seem to go hand in hand.
I did. I had 5 diversified girls and plus a redhead, which is the most diversity because their very lowest percentage of the population is redhead.
Redheads as women of color. But for people like Shalique Harford, this is serious. He's a celebrity stylist who was wearing a pretty audacious ensemble of sequins, stripes, and furs, a huge bow tie, and leopard print shoes. People were taking his picture because he's the kind of eye-popping character that makes Fashion Week so much fun to attend. He said for African Americans, the absence of models of color is really frustrating.
You know, we want to flip through the pages of Vogue and Cosmopolitan and Glamour and see our people there. And so when our people look into the magazines, it's like, well, where are we?
Shalik said he hopes that someday he'll be in a position of influence so he can make the runways of New York Fashion Week look a little more like the city. I'm Arun Vanagopal, and this is Micropolis at WNYC.